And all the time. Have you ever met him when he wasn't? Boy, y'all did good. Nope. Not no, just nope. Amen. Might be on one mind and one accord this morning. Amen. This morning is membership Sunday. Why is that important? Because it's important to the Lord. Nothing is as more important as when you have given your heart to the Lord as your salvation. How many of you know that's the most important thing? But maintaining your walk with the Lord, God has given us a way that we, to help us maintain and follow Him, but also to encourage one another, but also to reach the world. And it's called the church. Can you say amen? Touch your neighbor, say the church is important. And being part of the church is just as important as well. Not as important as our salvation. Coming to church, being part of a church is not going to make you any more of a Christian than being, I mean, it's not going to make you saved any more than going to McDonald's going to make you being a hamburger. Hello. That ain't even a good analogy. Let me say Outback. Let's raise our restaurant a bit. Going to make you any more than going to Outback and becoming a steak. Amen. Now you go to your restaurant, and I'll go to my restaurant. Amen. But membership in God's house is important. Can you say amen? I want us to look at that for a little bit, and then we're going to fellowship some folks that have made that determination and made that commitment and made that covenant. That they're going to be members of the body here at Ozark First Assembly. Psalms 92, beginning at verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house, say planted in the house. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you and we magnify your holy and precious name. We thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. And God, we just ask that you have your will and your way in our hearts and our lives this morning. Lord, help your servant to speak what you've laid upon our heart. But God, help us to understand the importance of the spiritual community, the importance of the body of Christ, the importance especially of your local church. God, and we give you the praise and the glory. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. I want to say it again. It is so important to be part of the local church, not just to skip around here and there, but get somewhere and get rooted and grounded in a body of believers where the Lord leads you to as the Lord places you. I've had several folks over the 25 years I've been in ministry, when they begin to attending the church, I've had several folks make the statement or ask me from time to time, do you want me to become a member here? Or do you want me to join here? Or am I supposed to join here? They've asked me that question in different ways. And I said, it's not whether I want you to or not. It's what does the Lord want you to do? Is this the place where God wants you? Have you prayed about it? See, I believe every believer has a specific place where God wants to place them so they can grow and receive the blessings and anointing of God in a greater measure, but also so they can be used for His purpose and His plan in the way that He desires to be used. Can you say amen? Not just to get lost in the numbers. There comes a time when we initially get saved and we initially become part of the body of Christ and we initially join the church. That there's a growing time. There's a training time. There's a discipleship time. But there's sometime, come on somebody. There's sometime that you've got to quit eating from the table and get up and start serving at the table. Boy, that's good stuff there. Sometime you've got to quit eating and start serving. Because Jesus made the statement, the greatest among you shall be your what? Servant. Now that flies in the face of our Christian society today because they want a user-friendly service. They want to be served. But Jesus said the harvest is great and the what? Laborers are few. But we become laborers when we become part of the local fellowship and we become trained and discipled and grow. And then we begin doing the work of the ministry that God helps us to do. I truly believe that an individual will never grow in Christ to the fullness where Christ would have him to be, that they will never walk in the fullness of the blessings of God, the blessing that God has for them, until they are in the place where God would have them to be. Now, I don't believe God changes his mind every 6 months to a year, or where he would have you to become part or tied into a local church. People may change their minds, but God doesn't change his mind. I believe God's got a specific place and a purpose for each and every believer. Can you say amen? Now, you got to understand, again, I was raised in church from the time I went to church from the 9 months before I was born. I mean, you heard the old expression, I had a drug problem every time I got a chance. I was drugged to church. My mama was the church secretary, so I was there most of the time when everybody else wasn't. Huge church, Woodmont Baptist Church in Mobile, Alabama. Man, I crawled under them pews when nobody was there. I wasn't doing it while people was there. I ran around. I knew Willie, the janitor, and Willie would get me a Coke if I'd help him for a little while. But I've been part of the church, the physical church, for a long time. Can you say amen? It makes a difference. But in the role of pastoring, I've had a lot of folks come to me and say, oh, Brother Doss, God has called us here. Oh, we're here to learn and to grow and to become a part and to serve. Then a few months later, God has called them somewhere else. And I just say, you know, I'm so sorry. God is so confused. He just had the address in the wrong place. Now, people get like that because, number one, they have a shallow experience or they wear their feelings on their sleeve and they get their feelings hurt pretty easy. And they just go down the next road. But instead of learning and growing and learning to overcome some things, they just kind of hop around from place to place. I didn't have all this in my notes. But can I tell you, this past year, we have had some heroes of the faith go home to be with the Lord. Some folks that have served faithfully in very, very difficult positions and served and taught Sunday school, served in the nursery, served in the choir, served here, served there, served in different places, would send cards and did it for years, would serve in this capacity and that capacity. And those saints have gone on to be with the Lord, and we're looking for some more saints that are willing to come alongside and say, we want to serve where they serve. Can you say amen? It's important to be part of the local church. Can you say amen? I got to chill out a little bit. God doesn't change his mind like that. Once you've been faithful and you've done your best and are doing your best, if God leads you somewhere, then by all means go, but make sure it's God and not your flesh. If God leads you to come here, by all means come, but make sure it's God. But once you get to the place where God would have you be, get rooted and get grounded once again. Get planted, get established in that body of believers. Can you say amen? See, I believe it is critically important to our spiritual well-being that we are rooted and grounded in the body of believers. Why? It's important for our spiritual health. It's important for our emotional and mental health and well-being, as well as your family's health and well-being. There are tremendous blessings and promises for those who will become rooted and grounded and faithful in the house of God. Now, I've had some folks, I've even heard some folks say, well, I don't believe you need to have to be a member of the church to be saved. No, not necessarily you don't. The thief on the cross proved that. Jesus didn't say, well, before you join me in paradise, you got to fill out this membership card first. Hello. But if we have opportunity, we need to be part of that local fellowship. Well, Brother Doss, does the scripture bear this out? Absolutely. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 says, "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." He said, "Well, Brother Dawson, was Jesus big on church attendance?" You have to believe. Absolutely. The Bible talks about as was his practice, as was his custom. Many times you see Jesus was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day teaching. Hello. Aren't you glad you showed up this morning? Praise God. The early church, they were continuing daily with one accord in the temple. And then that just led them to have fellowship, breaking of bread from house to house, praising God and having favor with all people. And God was adding to the church daily such as should be saved. There's tremendous blessings and promises for those who will become rooted and grounded and faithful to the house of God. Psalms 92 verse 13 says, "Those who are planted in the house," say planted in the house of the Lord, "shall flourish in the courts of our God." Again, once we are saved, that's the most important part. Then we must do our best to get planted in a church. That word planted means to be rooted, to be planted, to transplant. Oh, Brother Doss, well, you're talking about folks changing from here to there. That's not that word, what transplant means. When you get transplanted in the house of God, once you get saved, the Bible says, "Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you." We need to be transplanted from some of the things in the world and from some of the worldly practices and transplanted to in the things of God. Can you say amen? Transplanted into the body of like-minded believers and like precious faith. We need to be part of the body of Christ. And once we're there, we need to get involved, get our families involved, get involved in the services, get involved in Sunday school. And all the Sunday school teachers said, amen. I'm going to tell you, we have some of the most awesome Sunday school teachers around. Last week, I've gotten tickled through this time of prayer and fasting. Our Sunday school, I think the preacher's wearing off on them because our Sunday school teachers are getting a little long-winded. And the services are going, their Sunday school classes are going a little bit past time. Can you say amen? But I'm going to tell you, if the Holy Spirit is in the middle of it, let it go. You've heard from me. Let it go. Can you say amen? Let the Spirit have his way. But it's happening even in Sunday school. Sunday school is important. Get involved in Sunday school. Get involved in fellowships. Get involved in membership. That's what some folks are doing here this morning. Get involved in the prayer meetings. What are you doing when you're doing it? You're getting planted in the house of God. You're getting rooted and established in the house of God. Is that important? Absolutely. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25 says this. Let us, say us, hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. How are we going to hold fast the confession of our hope or the confession of our faith? How are we going to be able to consider one another? In other words, be considerate one another and support one another. How are we going to stir one another up to love and good works? How are we going to exhort one another? It all comes about as we do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. But it says, and so much more as we see the day approaching. If you've been around me, any, you've heard me say this, I am appalled, I am shocked at the churches that are having less church. Now, I don't want to just have a service just to have a service, because if the Spirit ain't moving, hey, guess what? I don't want to just be going through a liturgical mess. I just don't want to be going through a set group of things that we do in order. I want to be where the presence of God is. But the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but so much more as you see the day approaching. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. We need to be ready. We need to be encouraging one another, building up one another, lifting up one another, pressing on, pushing one another to a higher level of spiritual righteousness. Can you say amen? We have to have one another. Can you say amen? And we find that by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Let me go to Hebrews. It's not in there, Sister Sylvia. Can y'all give me just a minute? How many of you give me a minute? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, we're good. Brother Doss, you're a little unwound this morning. That's all right. It's important. I'm going to read verse 25, then I'm going to read verse 26 with it of Hebrews chapter 10. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. You've got to understand why will the writer of Hebrews tie in willful sin to forsake, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is. You ever thought about that? For if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice of sin. Could it be, say perhaps, that the writer of Hebrews is tying willful sin to our disobedience of forsaking the assembling of ourselves together? Or could it be that perhaps the writer of Hebrews, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, saying, look, if we don't stay hooked up together, if we don't stay around believers of like precious faith, we could easily fall away and slip into willful sin. I believe that's the text, the context of what he's saying. Church may not save you, but it will help you maintain your walk with God. Church may not save you, but it will definitely help you maintain your walk with God and will help you become stronger being planted in the house. Are y'all with me? There is a blessing, and you can be a blessing when we're planted in the house. It says in the latter part of verse 92, you shall flourish in the courts of our God. That word flourish there means to break forth as a bud. You will bloom. You will begin to grow. You will spread out. I like this one definition. You will begin to fly. You'll begin to grow. You'll begin to produce. Your Christian life will begin to bloom and to bud and to break forth. You will begin to establish roots. Spiritual growth and blooms will be a natural result of you being planted in the house of God. Look with me in verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Now, why in the world, notice it's talking about the righteous, those who are born again, and the overall context is talking about being planted in the house of God. Now, why would they compare that, being planted in the house of God, with two trees, especially a palm tree, then the cedar in Lebanon? Well, let's look a little bit about the characteristics of those two trees. Are y'all still with me this morning? What David is talking about here, he's talking about the date palm. The date palm is an amazing tree in that part of the world. Drought cannot kill it. Because when things begin to get dry, their roots will go down as deep as it takes to get water. Drought can't kill it. It is evergreen. It is always producing fruit. And the older the tree becomes, the sweeter its fruit. I heard a man, most of y'all probably have never heard of him. His name is Judge Battle Lindsay, Judge Lindsay. He was a nationwide, world-famous evangelist with the Assemblies of God in the 1950s and early 60s. I had a chance to meet Judge Lindsay. Judge Lindsay was in bad health, and I would go and see him at his home at different times, and and in the hospital. I've never had a man lay hands on me and lay hands on my head and begin to pray for me that felt like Judge Lindsay felt like. Because when Judge Lindsay laid hands on you, it was like hot oil that ran all over your head. He was talking about that date palm tree. He said, Brother Doss, you know, he said, you know, it says, he talks about that date palm. He says, the older it gets, the sweeter its fruit gets. He says, but I'm wondering, because that's talking about folks being part of the body of Christ. He said, I've met some sour old saints. I'm wondering what kind of tree. I think they're a briar bush or something. Hello? But when this says the righteous shall flourish, it talks about the righteous. In other words, our hearts being right, we'll be like that date palm. And the older we become, the sweeter our fruit becomes. Can you say amen? Strong winds can't break it. It just bends, and then it stands right back up. You can scar it all the way around. There's a lot of trees, and we've got some men here today that know a lot about trees. You can scar an oak tree all the way around. You can cut that bark all the way around and cut a little section of that bark all the way around, and you have just caused that tree to die. But it won't happen to a date palm. When you cut that date palm all the way around, when you cut that thing, when you scar that thing all the way around, it will keep on living. It will produce a substance that will heal itself, and it'll just keep on growing and producing fruit in spite of its scars. Can you say amen? It has a tremendous amount of endurance. Its branches are symbols of victory. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, it was the branches of a date palm, the palm leaves, that were symbols of victory as they laid them down as he was coming in. Only two things will kill it. Number one, the cold. Bitter cold will kill it. And number two, if the top is cut off, if it's cut off, if it's separated from its head. Can I tell you, that's the same two things that will destroy us spiritually. If we become cold in our hearts, if we become indifferent to the Lord, and if we become cut off from the head, our Lord Jesus Christ, can you say amen? But that won't happen if we stay planted and rooted in the house of God. The next tree it compares us to, Brother Dawson didn't know I was going to hear a horticulture message this morning, but you know, that's what the scripture talks about. But it's comparing to Christians. How can we be like that date palm? You know what? We can learn that when dry times come, and for every believer, dry times will come. If our roots go down, we know where to get the source of living water. Can you say amen? And it doesn't matter how hard the wind blows and the storms of life may blow. We'll just learn to bend. And when the storm is over, we'll stand right back up. And it don't matter how much you cut us and how much the trials go through and how much the difficulties, the heartaches, and the problems come. We'll just keep on. We'll let the healing balm of Gilead cover our wounds and just keep growing in him. Can you say amen? But the only thing that will kill us if our hearts become cold and indifferent and we become separated from the head, can you say amen? Then it talks about the cedars of Lebanon. The cedars of Lebanon. I've always wondered about that. I was reading John Gill's commentary, and I like what he said. I just wrote what he said down. It said, it sounds good. Like the cedar in Lebanon, they were the best, they were the tallest, they were the largest, they were the strongest cedars that grew, to which the righteous are compared, who grow up by degrees higher and higher, even to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and stronger in him, who go from strength to strength, having their spiritual strength renewed by him, and cast forth their roots in him, like Lebanon and the cedars there. And they spread their boles and their branches like them in exercise of grace and the discharge of duty, and grow in every grace of faith, hope, love, humility, self-denial, and submission to the will of God, and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and are durable as the cedar, never die, their life being hid with Christ in God. There are cedars in Lebanon today that were around during the time of Christ. They're still there. They're still growing. They're still thriving. They're still standing there. And there's one particular place outside of Israel where those cedars are growing, outside of Lebanon, where those cedars are growing, that every time you pass by, you literally can sense an anointing and sense the presence of God by those cedars. They are the strongest. They are the tallest. They are the most diligent. And when you get in there, they have the sweetest aroma. And he says, that's those who are righteous, who are planted in the house of God. We are to be the strongest. We are to stand the tallest. But we are to have a sweet aroma. The sweet aroma, not of our presence, but of his presence. Can you say amen? We are to have a deep and well-established root system because we are rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ and upon his word. Can you say amen? What a symbolism. All because we are planted in the house of God. Are y'all with me this morning? Psalms 92 verse 14. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. They will be productive and be producing fruit all the way to their old age. I like what it talks about here, and we don't see, it doesn't give us an age. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. When do we need to plant, get planted in the house of God? It just doesn't start in here. You know where it starts? It starts in that back corner room called the nursery. When we bring our children and we begin to teach them. And it doesn't just start in the nursery. It starts at home as moms and dads begin and grandparents begin to share and teach children about the love of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God and growing up in the things of God and teaching them and setting the example for them what it means to be faithful to the house of God. Can you say amen? But it says when we're planted in the house of God, it says if we hang in there, we're still going to be flourishing in our old age. Can you say amen? We'll still be being productive in our old age. Why do we got to be productive? Because we are known not by our giftings, but by our what? By our fruit. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree, talking about a good tree. What kind of trees? I wonder if Jesus is talking about. Well, you reckon he read the Psalms? You reckon he knew what David said about the palm tree? You reckon he knew what David said about the cedar? Every good tree, say good tree. Every good tree cannot bear, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree, say every tree, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Jesus speaking in John chapter 15, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. He says, but if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So will you be my disciples. What distinguishes whose we are in our walk with Christ is the fruit we produce. And there's only one type of fruit that's acceptable to the Lord, is good fruit. Spiritual fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, gentleness, temperance, faith. Against such there is no law. Good fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. Can I tell you, I want to be a good tree in this day and age. Can you say amen? I want to be a strong tree. And it comes as we are planted in the house of God. The only way we can produce good fruit is if we are part of the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if we are born again, and it's if we are rooted and planted in the house of God. Those who stay faithful to Christ, those who stay planted, even in their old age, they will still be productive, bearing spiritual fruit. Can you say amen? Mom, This past year was tough for Mom. We took her car away. She had her third hip surgery. She got moved into an assisted living. We had to sell her house and most of her belongings. But she's in a good place. And they've got some unique folks in that house, in that assisted living. One of them is a man by the name of Pastor Bob. Now, Pastor Bob has been a Southern Baptist pastor. He told me, he says, he knew for over 50-something years, and he's in his 80s. He asked me, he said, my mom told me, she likes to tell everybody I'm a pastor. She said, he pastors an Assembly of God church. First thing Brother Bob says, he's a good Southern Baptist. Well, once you're in grace, you're always in grace. I just shook his hand and hugged his neck. Pastor Bob lost his wife last March or April. They were both living in the assisted living. About a month after he lost his wife, some guys got in the assisted living, not sure how, they increased their security. And of all people, there's over 150, 200 people in there, of all people to pick on, they went and found Pastor Bob. And they robbed him, they beat him up. I said, Pastor Bob, what do you think? He said, brother, I just prayed for him. I just prayed. They got caught, so they're captive. I'm just praying they get saved. Every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, somebody from Pastor Bob's old church comes and picks him up, takes him to church. But I was there one day, and all of a sudden, I heard the piano. They got a little grand piano sitting over there. Nice, nice place. Down there by the cafeteria. And I heard somebody singing those old songs of the church, and they were playing and doing a pretty good job. And I looked, and there's Pastor Bob. Just a few people around. He said, well, you know, I just like to hear people praise the Lord. They have Sunday school there. And Pastor Bob don't get to teach it every Sunday. But when the guy's not there, Pastor Bob fills in. He teaches Sunday school there. Now, Pastor Bob quit going to his own church on Wednesday night because he said, you know what? He said, there are folks here, they're used to going to church on Wednesday night, but they can't get out and go to church. He said, I can't. We're just going to have church right here on Wednesday night. Amen. Pastor Bob reminds me of those palm trees. The older he's gotten, the sweeter he's gotten. He's a little bit of skinny thing. The only thing you don't mess with him when he's doing that wee bowling. Boy, when they're doing that, you better stay out of their way. They will hurt you. Pastor Bob has been through some things. He could easily just say, I'm retired, I'm through. But he says, no, I still got something to offer. I may not be able to last as long as I used to. I may not be able to speak as clear as I used to. I may not get around as good. I still got something to offer. What's he doing? He's staying planted in the house. He's still bearing fruit. He's still flourishing, and he's helping somebody else. Can you say amen? I said, Lord, help me be like Pastor Bob. Amen. Can you say amen? Man has been cut, beat up, and lost his wife, but he's still happy. He's still got a smile. He's still praising and worshiping the Lord. They shall be fresh and flourishing. It says they shall be fresh, rich, vigorous, rich in the things of God and the blessings of God and the peace of God, the strength of God, the wisdom of God, and flourishing, fresh, green, alive, prosperous. Their relationship, their experience, their joy in the Lord will be fresh. Why? Because they are planted in the house of God. Can you say amen? Job made this statement before everything came down on him. He says in Job chapter 29, verse 20, he says, my glory is fresh within me, and my bow is renewed in my hand. Job even made this statement. He says, when he has tested me, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Why? Because Job had been planted in the house of God. We don't know where his church was. He must have had church all by himself. But can I tell you, he had a relationship with God that wouldn't quit. Can you say amen? Amen. He says, my glory was fresh within me. The Lord blesses those who are an active participant in that which he's given them to do. I believe the Lord will, number one, place us to be a part of and give us a part to play while we are in the house of God with a work and ministry to do. Can you say amen? He says, and my glory shall be fresh. They shall be fresh. I like that word fresh. They shall be fresh and flourishing, rich, vigorous. There used to be a billboard off of I-65. There's a Sunbeam bread factory right there. And if you ever drove, as you're coming into Mobile on I-65, you can smell it. That fresh, warm bread. That's the wrong thing to be talking about this time of, before lunch, isn't it? It was advertising their bread. And they made this statement, if it's not fresh, then we're out of business. Can I tell you something, church? If it's not fresh, then we're out of business. Because folks don't want something stagnant. They don't want something stale. They don't want something that's liturgical. They don't want something that's dry. They don't want something mundane. They want something that's real. They want something that's fresh. They're wanting an encounter with Jesus Christ, who is the what? The bread of life. Can you say amen? All these things are blessing to those who are planted in the house of God. They flourish, they grow, they bloom, they break forth. They produce good fruit even in their old age. Their relationship is fresh. It's rich in the blessings of God. They flourish. They grow in their experiences. When God's people are involved and righteous and walking in faithfulness in the house of God. Now, what does all this prove? Verse 15. It's unusual because it doesn't really so much prove something about us, but it proves something about the Lord. Psalms 92, verse 15 says, to declare that the Lord is upright, that he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. To declare, to show that the Lord is upright, just, straight, well-pleased. In other words, when you and I come together, when you and I are part, when you and I are walking in right relationship with God and walking, doing our best we can and walking in right relationship with one another, you say, well, Brother Doss, churches have people and people have problems and there's hypocrites in the church. I've heard all that. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect pastor. And if my wife was here today, she's at home visiting her mom for a long weekend, but she would tell you, I'm not perfect. But guess what? You ain't either. But we serve a perfect Savior. But we come together, not in our perfection, but in our personal relationship with Jesus Christ to give Him honor and glory and praise. And as we do, we show the rest of the world that the Lord is upright, that He is just, that He is true, that He is faithful, because He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. Where? In the midst of them. Can you say amen? And Jesus makes this statement in John 13, 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. In other words, the way we treat one another shows the world that we're the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It shows that He's upright, that He's faithful, that we are part of His body. Can you say amen? When we are planted in the house and God blesses us in these ways, it shows His faithfulness, it shows His goodness, and that He is well pleased with us. And when God's presence is there, when God's presence is there, others will be drawn to the house. Others will be drawn to His presence. Jesus said in John 12, 32, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. I know, folks, I know many of us Bible scholars, many of you Bible scholars, I know that's talking about when He was lifted up on the cross. But I believe we can have more than one meaning. I believe what that means is when we lift up Jesus, when we make him the center of our worship, when we make him the center of our praise, when we make him the center of our attention, it's not about a personality here. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says when he is lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. This is a place that can be a drawing card for people to have an encounter with the risen Lord, with the Lord Jesus Christ, where people can be saved, where people can be healed, where people can be delivered, where people can be set free, where people can come and find a release and deliverance from their problems and their circumstance and situation, not because it's the societal thing to do, not because that's where all the big hoodoo-doos are hanging out. It's because Jesus is in the house. Can you say amen? And when he is lifted up, he will draw all people unto him. Amen. And his Father gets the glory. Because when Jesus, when Jesus draws people to him, he's introducing them to the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's why it's important to be part of a local body of believers where people can be drawn to the Lord, where they can have a place to identify with, where they can come and get the help and the strength, not through a person, but through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Are y'all with me this morning? Aren't you glad you planted in the house? We show Verse 15, to declare the Lord is upright, that he is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. Psalms 18, verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation. When we are planted in the house, we show where our foundation is, that he is our rock. Somebody said, well, people just use the church as a crutch. Thank God. I'm not using church as a crutch. I'm using the church to rest upon the rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. From the time I was a little boy in the nursery, and I know y'all can't imagine that far back, but young people, I was a little fella at one time. I had hair too, and all this used to be up here. Some of y'all did too. Hey. But ever since I've been a little boy in the house of God, I've been hearing about the love of Jesus and the mercy of Jesus and the grace of Jesus and what it takes to walk with him. And the importance of staying faithful in his house and the blessings that come. But also that he wants to use us and work through us. And the church gives us an avenue by which to do that. To reach the lost. One of the most wonderful things that I love about Ozark First Assembly, besides y'all, is there's a wall out there that shows that we're not just in these four walls. It shows where the heart of this church is, because it's not the heart of the church, it's the heart of our Father. It's missions, reaching the lost. And I'm not excited about the wall, I'm excited about those people that are serving, that those pictures represent. And I'm excited because as we come together, as we link arm in arm with one another, and as we link arm in arm with those missionaries, we help and assist them in the body of Christ, the church of the living God. We help and assist them to reach the kingdom of God. Not only on the foreign soil, but even here in Ozark and beyond. One can chase 1,000, but two can put 10,000 to flight. What a support system. As we join together and come together and work together to share the gospel. Can you say amen? Jesus is our rock. We show that there is no unrighteous, no injustice in him. In other words, that God doesn't make mistakes. All our confidence, all our trust, and all our assurance and strength are in the Lord. Can you say amen? This is his kingdom. And he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to him, to you. I'm thankful for the local church. But I'm thankful who is head of the church, and his name is Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Father, we thank you and we praise you and we worship you.